Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 4 in our teaching on the Book of Galatians titled, You're an Heir of Grace, Live Like It. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
We do thank you for the power of your Spirit and the opportunity to be in your house and with your people. Lord God, it is truly a privilege and an honor. And Lord, we are thankful for those that are watching by the internet also. We welcome them into our Bible school. And Lord Jesus, we do ask and pray that you be with us and that you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. I got a buzz or a ringing in the speakers. Can you hear that? See if we can get that one out. It's a little distracting, perhaps. Okay, well, let's get started. And if you're in your workbooks, we'll start. It's actually on page 33. And it says, you're an heir of grace. And it says, to live like it. We've still got a bad buzz up here. I don't know if it's just me or who. I don't know. It might even be in the... Could it be in the sound system on the stage yet? Perhaps. Karen's looking at it. There it went away. Or going down, I think. Okay, it's lesson 4 of Galatians. You're an heir of grace. Let's live like it. We want to get into this topic today. And as an heir, that gives you an idea that an heir is someone who is inheriting something. And Christianity has been around for a long time. And there's a reason that it has been around for a long time. The reason is, number one, God established it. God created it. But he also gave it as a pathway in which his creation might walk into relationship with him. So as we're looking at Galatians, we'll do just a short review here right quickly. Who is the writer of Galatians? It's the Apostle Paul. To whom did he write it? To the believers in Galatia, the believers that are there. The theme is the vindication of the gospel of the grace of God from any mixture of law conditions which destroys the character of pure grace. I'm hoping that we can get into that thought just a little more today. What is the character of pure grace? We are always looking. Now, when the pure grace came on the scene, the reason for pure grace was that God was not giving us a vacation from morality, a vacation from sin. He wasn't giving us a vacation from anything. He was trying to take us and teach us about a spiritual journey called the grace of God. And this spiritual journey means we're not going back, but we're going forward. When you go forward in the grace of God, how do you know you're truly moving forward in the grace of God? It's because you do not need law anymore. The absence of law doesn't mean you're in grace. Grace means there's now no need for law. And that means we move beyond it. We move past it. If you're a safe driver going down the road and you're looking to see what the speed limit signs are all the time, there's chances are you're always driving just a little over the speed limit. And so is life. Now, why did Paul write the letter? Because people were distorting the gospel. When I say the word distorting, what does that make you think of? It's changing its shape. It's changing its original intention. So when something changes, can you imagine being in an airplane and you jump out of the airplane and all of a sudden your parachute starts getting distorted? So therefore it is not functioning as it was created to function. How much air can a parachute absorb and still fulfill its function? Not much. Very little. it becomes entangled. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying here in the book of Galatians. He's saying you're allowing the law to entangle you. You're having a mixture, so therefore it loses its intended purpose. So we like to budget for error, but when it comes to grace, people say, well, grace is just means, you know, anything goes. But the truth is, with grace, you have to walk in pure grace. Because if then there is a mixture, then the law takes over. Let's watch it. Now, here's where we're starting in this lesson. We just got two more lessons in the book of Galatians, and then we will get into Ephesians, which is very interesting as Paul progresses in his revelations. And the question here in this teaching is, to whom are you a slave? We will cover, are you a slave to sin or a slave to the law? You say, well, Alan, as a Christian, I have heard this type talking all of my life. Slave to sin, slave to law. Is this just another lesson? Well, I hope it's not. Because I want to cover some content here this morning right quickly that perhaps will give you a little more revelation on these two culprits. Or are you a free bond servant with the mind of Christ? Are you free from sin or the law, or are you a free bond servant with the mind of Christ? Now, let me ask you something. Is there anyone here today that can give me a little quick testimony of something you were in bondage to? You can say, well, Alan, that's kind of putting us on the spot, isn't it? And it probably is. But if anybody would like to share a testimony, say, Alan, I was in bondage to this, and now I'm not under bondage of this. If no one wants to give one, I'll tell one on somebody. You got to be careful because I make them up. Does anybody have something they would want to share? Okay.
I was in bondage with alcohol for my whole life, and I've been free of alcohol for 18 years.
Amen. Bondage to alcohol and free for 18 years. Now, you can say, what set her free? Did a law set her free? Or did anybody need to tell you that you needed to quit drinking? No. But you knew. You felt what? Felt guilt, okay. She always felt guilt. So there was something inside her that said, you don't need to drink. There wasn't a law that made her not drink. But there was something inside her that said, you need to stop this. That is what Paul's talking about in the book of Galatians. He says it's not a law. It's the grace of God. It's the voice of God. You see, the voice that's in you that made you feel guilty and kept saying you need, and it says it over and over. You might drink again, but the voice is still there. You don't need. Well, what's that voice? That's what Paul's talking about. It's the promise. It's the promise. It's the grace of God. How long will the voice stay there? Forever. The voice is always there. And the Apostle Paul was making this point. And he was saying, the letter of the law won't work. He says, you got to recognize the promise. Because it's the promise that God's made me, he's made you, that voice is within us. I talked with two guys, one 3 weeks ago. Checked on him yesterday. I said, well, how are you doing with the smoking? He said, it was 2 months now. And he's smoked, I don't know, on and off for 30 years. And I said, why are you not smoking? He said, I was in my kind of my quiet time, and I was praying, and I was worshiping God. And it's kind of hard. For some reason, I felt awkward with a cigarette in my hand. I don't know. Said it just felt a little awkward that I wanted to light up during worship time with God. And I said, well, I don't know that God really minded. You know, I don't know smoking. I don't think it's a sin. But what told you to quit smoking? He said, I don't know. I just felt like I just didn't need to do that. Just something. Okay, That's the point of Galatians. There's a promise inside of you. And the law won't get it done. But that promise will. And where you hear the voice of the promise is the power to accomplish it. You say, but Alan, I've always failed. I don't care. The voice is still there. Just start again tomorrow. That's all. You might go a month, say, Alan, I did good, but dadgone, I messed up again. That's all right. Voice is still there. Promises, the promise of God do not change based on your behavior. The only downside is it'll nag you to death because it's always there encouraging you to do what the voice and the promise of God is saying. That's the point of the book of Galatians. Now let's look at it in chapter 4. Now in chapter 4, he begins to read in the scripture here. And it says, now I say, now you can look at your observation worksheets, which is the scriptures in the back of your workbook if you'd like as I read here. I've underlined a few more things. And so as I read the scripture, you can read it on the overhead or in your observation worksheets. And he says, now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were what? Held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. If it was alcohol, if it's drinking, then you're held into a bondage under the elemental things of the world. So we're considering this thing here. What are we all under bondage to? Well, we can identify some of them. Some of them we can't. Now, here's what I can tell you. The promise that's inside of you, that promise will tell you to do something or not to do something, and you maybe won't even understand why you shouldn't do something. You might say, well, that's not a sin. Well, that's not the deal. The deal is the promise or the Spirit's trying to lead you in your life. That's the deal. You see, you leave the aspect, is this right or is it wrong? You're just walking in the Spirit. So the Spirit says, okay. Now listen, if the promise speaks to you that you need to stop something or change something, the power is there to accomplish it. That's just the way it is. You can say, well, Alan, I've tried it. I don't care. Keep going. Do it again. Tomorrow's a new day. Start again. Because the voice is there. So we see that in the book of Galatians here, he's speaking about being held in bondage by things of the world. Now, verse 4, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under what? Born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law. That we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, how many people see that? I'm going to back up again. Because you are sons and daughters of God. How many do I have? Okay. If you are a son and a daughter of God today, because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. Sent forth the Spirit of his Son. So the Holy Spirit, to give you more identification, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of his Son. So when we receive and we are in agreement with the Holy Spirit, we're saying we are in agreement with Christ. Glory has a hope, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this Holy Spirit in you saying, you know, it's maybe not a good idea to smoke while you're worshiping. Just maybe lay it down, right? That's not maybe. And I said, well, did you put out your cigarette? He said, yeah, and you know, I hadn't picked up one since. And I'm not against smoking. I'm really not. I don't care if people smoke or chew or whatever. I mean, grandma dipped, so chew's probably okay. But if the Holy Spirit or the voice within you says, You maybe don't want to do that. That is the point of this law versus grace thing. To walk in grace means you're following the Spirit. That's what's being proposed here. And as Christians, how do we know if we're walking in law? Because usually law or a religious or self-righteousness walks out of pride. Well, I know what you need to do, bless God. I know what he needs to do. I know what you need to do. And I know what you need to do. Now, if you've got I know what you need to do going on, you're probably not following the Spirit. You've got to give everybody the opportunity to hear the Spirit for themselves. You missed a wonderful place to say, Alan, I agree with you. You've got to give people the opportunity to hear the Spirit for themselves. If you've got to hear from the Spirit for them, are they ever going to hear from the Spirit? They're either going to follow you. If you're following what I say, now hear me, I might can hear from the Spirit. But if you follow what I say, you're not going to have the Spirit of the world to carry it, or the Word to carry it out. Come on. That's what we get into in the book of Galatians. You have to follow the Spirit for yourself. When you get it, you got it. When you get it, you got the power to carry it out. That's the reason you can be preaching or teaching, and the hope is you get it. I don't want to give you something to follow. I can't teach it. You got to catch it. That's the way things of the Spirit are. And when you catch it, when you catch more than I'm saying, you've got the power to carry it out. That's what he gets into in this. He might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, because you are the sons of God. He has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our what? Into our what? Into our hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. Crying, Abba, Father. Crying out to our Father. If you see God as your Father, then you are identifying with the Spirit of the Son that's in you. Abba, Father. Is he your judge? You're not seeing him as your Father. You're seeing him as your judge. So it's important that we can make this transition. Now, look at this one. Redeem means to be bought out of the slave market and then be set free. That's what it means. He says there, he might redeem those who are under the law. To be redeemed, if you're sitting here as a redeemed one, you have been purchased out of the slave market and then set free. So that means there is no bondage that can hold a redeemed person. There is not one. You say, well, Alan, I'm still under some. Well, okay, keep working it out. Because I promise you the power to work out your redemption is there and you will succeed. You will succeed because you have been bought out of the slave market, which you're under the bondage. You have been bought out and set free. Christ has not set you free just to bring you back under bondage. So Christ is here to set us free. Now you've got to catch the connection here. In Galatians 4, it says, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And a son, then a what? Then an heir. Now, heir is huge. We are not walking in our heirship, in our inheritance. We're not walking in it. There's more available to Christians than we are crossing the great divide of understanding, and we're not partaking of it. It says, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. All right, an heir through God, if the Spirit of Christ is in you and you have been redeemed, or you have been bought out of this slavery or this bondage, you've been, that means that you can inherit something. So when I agree with the mind of Christ, that's the part that's in you saying, hey, you might want to, you know, it's not too good to drink, or you maybe don't want to smoke, or you maybe don't want to do this or that. Or whatever the Spirit says to you, hey, you might want to pull back on. There's a reason. The reason is not because drinking or smoking is a bad thing. The reason is it's taking up space to your heirship. God's wanting, you see, it's taking up hard disk space. God's wanting to clear up some of your heart because he's got something that you have inherited that he's going to put in there, that he's going to put in your heart. Can anybody feel that transaction when God's dealing with our... Now, the heart is the battleground. Now, look at this one. Since we are an heir, we will live with him forever and ever. Now, in my English language, that's a long time. So if I am an heir, I will live with him forever and ever. Could it be that God's preparing me to live with him forever and ever? It could be a pretty good chance that he is living, that's the issue here. Now look at it in John 14:1-2. I thought I'd throw this one in there just for a freebie. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Some says many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Do you remember Jesus said he had to go away so he could send his spirit? You remember that one? Now, the scriptures have different levels, different first, second, third dimensions, and there is a fourth one. Here, it's also like what we call an allegory, which we'll get into here in just a minute. Well, let's go here first. Well, let's don't. Okay, I'll back up. God is, where is the temple of God now? Temple of God right here. Now, do I believe that when I leave this body that I'm going to the New Jerusalem in heaven? The answer is yes, I do. That's a dimension that I believe that. But also in this scripture, it is speaking about Jesus went away. He has now sent his spirit and he's preparing a dwelling place for you right here. He's preparing it for you. A dwelling place. So in my Father's house, there's many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. So he went away and he sent his spirit, because he sent his spirit here in your heart, because he's preparing a place for you to fully live. Do you catch that? Okay. As he is prepared, you've got to understand something. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. King James says there's many mansions. That gives you an idea. Well, you got a road down through here, and there's a mansion here, there's a mansion here, there's a mansion here. That's not really probably what's going on. In the Father's house are many mansions. In other words, when you walk into God's mansion, you got a room in his house. You missed a wonderful place. Say glory, hallelujah. In God's mansion are many rooms. So you're not going to have a mansion down a road. When you leave heaven, you're going to live in God's mansion. You got a room he's preparing for you. Now, he's preparing this room right now so you know how to act and enjoy God's mansion when you get there. Not only that, he said, if you want to start experiencing the environment of my Father's house, I'm going to let my heirs start experiencing a little of it now. You say, well, Alan, that's a pretty tall order. I don't know if I believe it. I don't care. It doesn't change the truth. How do I know it's the truth? Because you long for what I just said. You're hungry for it. Why are you hungry for it? Why? Listen, when I said that statement, I knew you'd all agree with it because it's the truth. How do I know it's the truth? Because the Holy Spirit of God's in you. Spirit of Christ is in you. Spirit of Christ long for you to be in God's mansion. Come hang out with God. God has parties. He's got big parties. The death, when you leave this body, has very little to do with being in the presence of God. When you leave this body, it just means you're getting a new vehicle. That's all. We should be experiencing the promises of God now. That's the reason it takes faith. That's the reason this present world is demanding that you get justice. I'm telling you, your demanding justice of others in this world will keep you from walking in the mansions of God now. Now, let's watch it. That was a little mansion thing I thought I'd throw in there. Therefore, you are no longer a slave. Why are you no longer a slave? It says it in John 8:31. This one's good. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly, truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will do what? It'll make you free. I've told people, I hang my faith on that right there. The truth will set you free. I've had people come and say, well, Alan, can't we lay hands on and set people free? I'm trying all that. I've maybe seen it happen a time or two, but not many. I don't have that anointing for some reason. Or if it's happened, I don't know what's happened, but I'm going to keep doing it. But this much I can promise you, that if we can get to the truth will set you free. The reason the truth will set you free is because the Spirit, the mind of Christ, and you will have an inner witness, and it'll say, yep, that's right. Once you say, yep, that's right, then you have been given the power in which to carry it out. It's just the way it is. You can say, well, Alan, I've tried it. Just keep trying it and keep trying it, because I promise you that truth is going to set you free. It has to, or this book doesn't tell the truth. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. I mean, that's a joke. I mean, they were blinded. I mean, they were under Roman rule then. And they said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slaves of what? Sin. So he talks about the sin and how it brings us into bondage. He's trying to, why do we sin? Because it's wrong? Why does God not want us to? No, it's not because it's wrong. It's because it's holding you back. See, bondage, if you're bound, that keeps you from moving. That's the deal. I mean, trust me, God's seen sin for a while. I don't think he wakes up in the morning and says, oh no, they sinned again. God, hit the deal with it. God's paid the penalty of the sin. So now he's wanting us to walk in the freedom to let the bondage, it's something to do with, we hold the keys of this kingdom of bondage. You got to stick the key in there and turn it, which is the truth of God. Now let me move on right quickly. I'm running out of time. Moving from law to grace. When God becomes your father, you are moving from a slave to a son or daughter. Kind of cool. So you can see if you're a slave and in bondage, it's hard to walk in an inheritance of sonship or daughtership. Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. You remember we went over in Philippians what a bondservant was. You can be a slave of sin, you can be a slave, or you can be a bondservant. Bondservant meaning you have been set free and you have been made the decision to now serve your master. That's what a bondservant is. You freely, we have been set free. You don't have to come to church on Sunday. You don't have to. You don't have to get around any other Christians. As long as you live, you can go home and you can just sit there, and that's just fine. It's not a deal. But if you choose to congregate together, you can be a bondservant at home or you can be a bondservant here. But when you hear the voice telling you to move in this direction or that direction, the key is, I am not putting you under anything. I am asking you to follow the still small voice of God that's in you. We have no expectations of what your life is to look like. We don't know. We can't issue you a piece of paper and say, if you'll do this, this, and this, and this, you're good to go. We can't do that. We understand we can't. So our only hope is that everyone can hear the Spirit of Christ and have the mind of Christ for themselves. And as everyone comes together, we have to learn to appreciate the mind of Christ in everyone. And we have to appreciate and understand we're not all there yet. We're all trying to work out this mind of Christ. So the church house is not a place to come and do it right. The church house is come, be who you are, follow the Spirit, and we'll let you get it right sooner or later. So that's the reason we have grace and we have mercy. That's what Paul's talking about here, of the bondservant. Now look at it in Galatians 4, 1 through 20. Let's turn in your observation worksheets right quickly, if you will. In Galatians, I'm going to have to move quickly. I got 15 minutes here. Galatians, do you have your observation worksheets? I probably should read them out of mine because I did not bring my other Bible. In Galatians, let's look at it in chapter 4. I'm going to read right quickly verses 1 through 20. Then we're going to go move right into 21. But to set our table here of where we are, it's talking about in Galatians 4 the sonship of Christ. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has set forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. However, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, say, but now those of us that have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to enslave all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. I beg of you, brethren, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have done me no wrong, but you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. And that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is that sense of blessing you had? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? They eagerly seek you, not commendably, but they which wish to shut you out so that you will seek them. But it is good always to be eagerly sought in a commendable manner, and not only when I am present with you, my children with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Do you see that? Until Christ is formed in you. But I could wish to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. Now, let's go on to Galatians 4:21. You can look at the screen. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had what? Two sons. Abraham had what? Two sons. Can you tell me who they were? Who? Isaac and Ishmael. Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. One by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking. So here, all right, let's look at what is an allegory. Allegorically speaking means having hidden spiritual meaning that transcends the literal sense of a sacred text. So here the Apostle Paul is taking an Old Testament story of Abraham. He said, okay, I'm going to give you this story, but I want you to get the hidden meaning in the story. It's called an allegory. Now let's watch it here. This is the allegorically speaking. For these women are two covenants. One proceeding from Mount Sinai. Now, when you see it referring to Mount Sinai, I put in parentheses there, it's speaking about the law. There again, it's allegorically speaking. One proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present what? Present Jerusalem. So what does that tell you about the present Jerusalem then? They were under bondage. They were under law. For she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. So here he's speaking about the earthly Jerusalem, and then he says there's a Jerusalem up here. So the Apostle Paul says, I want you to look at this. Abraham, two sons, one bondwoman, one free woman. He says the law identifies with the earthly Jerusalem. But the one I'm trying to get you to identify with is the one that's up here. If you got your Bibles, right quickly, we got just a few minutes. I want you to turn to Revelation right quickly. Turn to Revelation, if I can find it here. Revelation chapter 21. If you would, just turn in your Bibles there. Revelation chapter 21. I will start with verse 1, but then I'll skip around. Revelation chapter 21. I'll be reading now the King James. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the what? New Jerusalem. That's the one the Apostle Paul is speaking about in Galatians. He said, you got this one down here. It's under the law. But he said, I want you to identify with the one that's above. Here's the one he wants you to identify with. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adored for her husband. Do you see that? And I heard a voice, a great voice, of verse 3, out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Do you see that? So the Apostle Paul was saying, I don't want you to identify with this law in Jerusalem down here. He said, I'm trying to tell you to identify with this Jerusalem that's above. And point being, if you'll identify with that one that's up there, point being that with that one, God's going to dwell with you. That's what it says right there. He said, identify with that one, not the one down here. He says, pull yourself apart from that. Now, just jump right quickly for the sake of time to verse 9. I had a lot of people tell me that that they say, Alan, we're the bride of Christ. And I say, well, yeah, you're going to be, but you're not yet. You got a few spots and you got a few wrinkles, and I know Christ will do it. But, I mean, let the Bible tell you who the bride of Christ is here. Look at it in verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Do you see that? He says, come with me, I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So where is the bride? It's that new city. It's that new Jerusalem in which we are being prepared to go to. Right now, we're fighting a battle. We're in a battle zone. We are trying to lead people into the gospel of Christ so they can fill up in the fullness of times and be part of this new Jerusalem that's above us. Are you with me? So we're not bride yet. We're waiting to be, and we will be when we get there. But then he goes on to say that there's something about the mansion and the dwelling place of God that's already begun. And that's what Paul is speaking about, and I've got 3 minutes, so let me move on to my next slide. So Paul was saying here, but the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. Now, I want you to see how this works right quickly before I have to close. You've got Abraham. Now, Abraham had a son by Hagar. And then he had a promise made to who? To Sarah. Her name was Sarai. changed it to Sarah. Now, as we see in the scripture, and the Apostle Paul is making this allegory about this situation, we see that Hagar is called the bondwoman. She was the slave woman. And then we see that Sarah is the free woman. Now you say, well, I thought Sarah had Hagar go in to be with Abraham to fulfill the promise. Now here's what happens. Anytime you try to manipulate God and bring forth what he's promised you, you are operating in the flesh and you will be in bondage. What was once a blessing will be a curse, and you'll be under bondage of trying to cause the promises of God to come about before time. Are you with me? That's the reason I don't want to push anybody past where they are, because that's between them and God. God's made them a promise. You can say, well, Alan, they're not doing this right and they're not doing that right. Well, you better leave it alone, because God's made that individual a promise. And if you try to help God in his promise, you're going to make a mess. You just need to appreciate God and his promise. You need to recognize God and his promise and wait on God. Now, Hagar, the bondwoman, produced a son. His name was what? Ishmael. Can you tell me a religion that comes from that today? Islam. Islam comes from Ishmael. It looks a little bit like the name, right? Now, Sarah had a son, and his name was Isaac, Israel. So you've got Islam. So not only what happened, do you think that Sarah had any idea what she was setting into motion here because of her disobedience? Her disobedience wasn't real bad. She just knew that God had made a promise, and she had this great idea that she was the person that's been appointed to push up God's promise. Scary place to be. Now, so what happens next? Now, we see that Ishmael was produced according to the flesh, and that was the scripture that we just read in Galatians. Isaac was according to promise. So the hard part of being a Christian is waiting on the promises of God. But it's the lazy man's way. That's right. It's the lazy man's way. Waiting on the promises of God. But when you try to help it, it's called what we're called, according to the flesh in Galatians. So we can see that this one was a covenant of law. That's what Paul's talking about. When Isaac was a covenant of promise. Are you getting the scene a little bit? You see, everything that you have in Christ today was produced to you and through you by a promise, not by your righteousness. Everything that we are experiencing as a church, as an individual, it's all through promise. So he says, why do you try to revert back to law when you can operate in promise? That's the battle. That's the reason Paul's given this allegory. He said, listen, this has been around a long time. Then he goes on to say, the promise was produced out of what? Out of what? Out of the Spirit. So why is it that we want to be a people of the Spirit, identifying with the Spirit? The reason is because when you're walking in Spirit, you're walking out into promises and you're getting heirship. You're an heir. Heir comes through promise. Not through law. And I'm going to have to stop. Galatians 4:27, it says, for more numerous are the children of the desolate. It says it right here. It's the next verse, 27. For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. The one who has the husband being Sarah, the one that's the desolate being Hagar. It says there, Galatians 4:27, for more numerous are the children of the desolate. What he's saying here, Paul's saying, listen, Christians, you're going to be a minority. Because the Hagar, according to the flesh, those descendants are going to be numerous. Are the children of the desolate. If you look at the Middle East today, nothing but desolation. Numerous Christians, you're going to be a minority, but you're walking under promise. I'd rather be one person walking under promise than 10,000 trying to work it out their own way. Okay, I didn't get through it, but let me say this one thing. Verse 23, and you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. But as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, who is now also. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, ye are not children of a bondwoman, but of a what? Free woman. The promise says you got to cast out the bondwoman that's within you. Cast it out. And you got to walk in the spirit of the free woman. I'm going to have to stop there. There's a lot more that goes with it. But Lord Jesus, be with us. We thank you, Lord God, that we have been set free to walk in the power of who you are and the power of your spirit. And Lord God, we ask and pray that you'll be here today. And we are asking for you to shoot fireworks off in this place. That's right. We just want you to shoot them off, Lord, and let us celebrate you and celebrate that we are free. And Lord God, I ask and pray that the New Jerusalem will send down some signals this way and it'll just light our fire. Be with the worship team. Let them be unusual. In Jesus' name. All that agreed with that and said, amen, amen. Thank you.